is the Stud Line with your super stud, Tim Conway Jr. and his girl Friday, Adam... What? Oh, with the super studs, Tim Conway Jr. and Adam Carolla, who happens to do the morning show, which makes him more important anyway.
All right, welcome everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk, and it is Friday, and a huge treat for me, and hopefully as big for you guys listening out there. The big man here at the station, guy that does the morning drive. That's always the biggest guy at the station. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla, how are you, sir?
Yeah, doing great, Timmy. How are you
Fantastic.
Doing?
Fantastic. Hey, I saw you on with Jimmy Kimmel. How'd you get booked on that show?
Somebody dropped out. I got the call at about 2:30 in the afternoon, and nap time is a very sacred time for me, and I had a meeting in the middle of the afternoon got that call. Well, it was one of those, I mean, you know, I'm spoiled, but my agent got the call and did one of those, well, he's sitting right here. He's sitting right, and you're always thinking to yourself, have I won the lottery? Does Brooke Shields finally want to have sex with me? And then they turn to you and tell you what they're saying, and it's always a disappointment because your mind runs wild.
Right.
Maybe I've been pronounced Chancellor of Prussia. Like, you think there's really something on the other end?
Right. Yeah. And you know what? Even when it is something, you know, good, like being on Jimmy's show,
it's still a bitter disappointment. You think he's talking to Ed McMahon when he's like, yeah, he's right here. I can tell him right now. He's sitting right here. Right. What is it? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. I always love when somebody has a real different idea of what good news is than you do. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I got great news. Really? What is that? It turns out my car doesn't need another air filter.
Awesome news. Dannon is making the pina colada yogurt again. And you hear awesome news and you're thinking, did I inherit Hearst Castle? What happened? Did I grow a second penis? What happened?
Sarah Lee's making those brownie pans again. By the way, that was one of the great treats growing up.
Yeah, the pan.
The pan filled with brownies from Sarah Lee.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, can't beat that.
Yeah, I like the Vandy Camp's pork and beans and the TV dinner, which was still a novelty when we were kids.
Right.
Now it's a cop out.
Right.
Then it was a fun new novelty.
Right, but even as kids, you know, when you haven't really developed your taste buds, you still thought it was crap though.
Yeah, I knew it was crap, but there was any port in a storm at the Carolla house, and even though the peas had gotten mixed in with the dessert. By the way, what do they do once those things come out of the factory? Just shake them like an Etch-a-Sketch? The dessert is the, you know, apple crumble, but it's filled with peas and corn. I was thinking, though, Tim, I was talking to Mark Burnett about his new cowboy show earlier in the week, and he was talking about bull riding.
And for people who don't know Mark Burnett, he is the executive producer of Survivor.
Yeah, and a thousand other shows.
Right.
And, you know, the Contender and shows like that. Right. Anytime you hear great score, great soundtrack,
right,
that's Mark Burnett. You know, you and I, we talk every Friday night. We wax poetic about our miserable childhoods, and then we go home and drink ourselves into a stupor, right?
How'd you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I thought really, you know, memory's good, but it's not great because you have to think about your past. You know, I mean, it's good that you know where your car keys are, but it's bad that you have to think about your mom and your childhood. And I was talking to Mark, and I was thinking how liberating it would be to be one of those bulls they ride. Because think about this in terms of short-term memory and how liberating this would be. You're one of those rodeo bulls. You get some 140-pound guy with a flak jacket on your back, and you're in that tank there, and you're in the corral, and the gate swings open, and you think, I got to get this guy off my back. That's all I can think about. I got to get the guy off my back. And once I get the guy off my back, I am going to kill his ass. I am going to gore him with my horn so hard, I'm going to skewer this guy on my right horn. So you just jump out, and you're going, I got to get the guy out. I got to get him off my back. And you're jumping, and you're twisting, and you're pitching. And eventually, the guy flies off your back, like 7-8 seconds, boom, the guy flies off your back. There he is lying on the ground, and you think, now I'm going to kill this bastard. And as you go in to kill him, a guy in a clown outfit jumps out, and you go, hey, what's that? And you start going his way.
Right.
Completely forgetting about the guy who you wanted to kill. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if you could just be, you know, you're sitting home, you're pouring yourself a highball, you're thinking about your mom and your child, and all of a sudden a guy just comes out in a clown outfit, and you're like, hey, what is this? You've completely lost track of it.
Right.
You never think about it again. You know, the bull never thinks about the cowboy ever again. He's just staring at the clown. Who's this clown? I'm going to kill this guy.
You know, those guys probably get a lot of hot chicks, right, because it's dangerous that what they do.
The bull riders do.
Yeah, the bull riders do.
Clowns.
No,
do.
But you know what? I bet the rodeo clowns do, because they get chicks in a bar and say, yeah, I'm part of the rodeo. And then the chick, you know, has sex with him, and then he gives, you know, lays tickets on her.
Right.
And she shows up, and she's like, well, when is he going to ride? Well, he's not going to ride. That's him down there with the big nose and the big shoes on.
Yeah, he's hiding in the barrel. The most retarded thing is when they have the poker game.
Right.
It's simultaneously us at our best and our worst. We're just going to sit at this crowded arena. We'll sit at a folding table and play cards,
right,
until the bull takes out one of us. And I wonder, like, are they really playing cards? You never see anyone win. I mean,
right,
the guy doesn't get stampeded, I guess, wins. But, I mean, and by the way, the first guy to ever float that idea, it wasn't shot down. Hey, man, I know something that'd be awesome entertainment. What's that? You want to get another cotton candy vending machine? No. Now, this takes place in the middle of the ring. Yeah? How's that? What do you want to do? Get another clown out of it? No. We put a card table out there, and we start playing cards. Well, that sounds fun for us, but how's that? No, we let a bull go. Oh, I get it. So we're in a cage playing? No. You're just playing cards.
Right.
And the bull's tied up? No. The bull's running around.
Right. But you know, those guys are the stimulation junkies. Like, we had a guy call us up a couple weeks ago, and we were asking, you know, guys in the audience, what do you have to combine to get high? And a guy calls us up and he says he has to be on 3 hits of acid before he can skydive.
Jesus Christ!
And I mean, you know, that, I mean, just there's enough in individually in those two acts. You know, 3 hits of acid and sitting in your living room, or just jumping out of a plane. But the combo has got to be unbelievable.
I know, and then what happens? I mean, yeah, so at that point, you fall asleep during missionary style? Like, haven't you raised the bar a little too high for yourself?
Yeah, but that's the guy, you're right, that's the guy that could never say, you know, like you said a couple of months ago, those guys who are real pussies who will, you know, identify themselves as real pussies by saying, oh man, I can't have a Snickers, man, I get a 20-minute high, then I crash.
Yeah, they explain the roller coaster ride that is eating an Oreo cookie to you. First, the initial sugar rush, then they flatten out, then they drop off the edge. Like, what? You talking about parasailing or eating a Hydra?
I know. I need about 3 Vicodins and about a half liter of vodka to get there.
It would be nice. One mouthful of red meat and I spin out of control. I love the people, too, that do the, is there caffeine in that? I'll be up all night. It's 7:45 in the morning. I will be up all night. It's like, how big a, I mean, you should get a windbreaker and with rainbow tape write out lightweight on it. You really, one cup of hibiscus tea at 7:45 and you'll be climbing the walls at midnight?
Exactly. Well, you know, it's the same guy that when you go to Vegas, he says, it's, and I'm sure you have one of these guys in your group, the guy that says, you know, everyone says, well, let's go get a couple pops. And he says to everybody, nah, I think I'm going to pace myself.
Yeah. What do you have, a big game tomorrow? Like, what are you saving up for? Pace myself.
I'm going to pace myself. So what do you mean, pace yourself? Well, if I drink now, I might be asleep by 11. Well, then go to sleep at 11. You know, you're in Vegas.
I have the same pacing, but mine's different. Like, I want to see if I can get, you know, keep 7 highballs down an hour for the next 9 hours.
Right. Yeah, it's like a guy, you know, you're flying to Vegas, you're on Southwest, and you order a Heineken, and the guy you're going with says, you know, let me get a 7-up here. I got to pace myself. Pace yourself.
I don't know why, but I always sit next to the guy who orders the tomato juice, and I get angry. Because I know he wouldn't order that on the ground.
Right.
Nobody goes into a 7-Eleven and goes, give me a tomato juice. Nobody goes to a cafeteria. Nobody goes out to dinner.
Right.
What do you have? Oh, we'll have some Pellegrino for the table. My wife will have a Pinot Noir, and I'll have tomato juice. But on the plane, for some reason, it has some currency. And on the ground, it's worth nothing. Like, tomato juice and Fiesta Mix have no value once the plane lands. But in the air, it's like cigarettes in prison or something. Everyone's like, I got to get me some Fiesta Mix. I got to get some tomato. I always see people drinking tomato juice. Nobody drinks tomato juice.
I know. It's something weird about being on a plane. I do. I order tomato juice on a plane.
You would never.
It's beautiful.
I've seen you 500 times, never seen with a tomato juice can in your hand. And evidently, there's no tomato juice can that comes. Here's how you know tomato juice sucks. It only comes in a 4-ounce can. It doesn't come in a normal can. It comes in that little itty bitty can, and it doesn't even have a metal tab on it. It has a sticker on top of it. And like,
and
you
the,
know
and,
your you know your product, like beer comes in 40 ounces.
Right.
Tomato can, 4-ounce.
And the last sip is also warm and terrible.
Yes, and nobody has a little tomato spittle at the bottom of the can. And the last, like, 3 sips taste like the inside of the can. Jesus
right.
Christ, it tastes like some bonderizing agent or some galvanization process that's taking place in your mouth. Those are weird, like you ate some rain gutter or something. Weird, crappy, tinny taste. Comes in a can, and it's really, it's the only beverage where the can is as big as your fist and it's too much. Like, if I said, yeah, give me a Sierra Nevada, and the guy handed me that size thing, I would punch him.
Right, exactly.
I would choke him out in the aisle of the plane. But you get that thing, it's like, it's more than enough tomato juice.
And how about the question from the stewardess when you order like a Coke or a tomato juice or 7-Up, whatever? She says, "Would you like the can?"
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, I'm 260, I'm 230 pounds. I think I could take on the whole 12 ounces myself.
Yeah. I'm making a mobile, and so yeah. And if you could ask around some of the other people on the plane, if they're not going to keep their cans, I just go ahead and grab those. I'm taking them to Vegas. I'm on a can run. I'm going to hop right back on a flight out of McCarran. I'm going straight back. I'm just collecting cans. I'm never going to leave McCarran.
You know, these airlines, too, don't understand that people are getting bigger. You know, that the average guy is now 200-plus pounds.
Right.
And the peanuts they hand out, it's still 8 or 9 peanuts in a bag.
Right.
You know, nobody would buy 8 or 9 peanuts in a little bag. Even in this vending machine here, there's more peanuts in the bag.
I know. In the vending machine, it went up to $1.50.
I couldn't believe it.
I fed a buck in there the other day, and I hit the peanut number, and it just gave me the question mark, and I just kept staring at it. Didn't know what to do.
How about the clowns that sit in front of the vending machine, and they stare, and they stare, and they stare, and they contemplate? And you say to them, you know, this isn't a life-altering decision here.
Yeah.
If you make the worst decision on this machine, you can go into your pocket and pull 75 cents out and make that better.
Right. Less any bill made of paper can correct your horrible decision. You know, you act like you're getting an abortion or something. Meanwhile, it's between the Smarties and the Razzles, and you're sitting there scratching your chin and growing a beard. But do you ever get this, and I don't know if this has happened to you, but you ever get, like, vending machine envy, where, like, you're standing by your vending machine, and there's some guy, and he's eating a cup of noodles, and you're like, hey, where'd you get that? And he's like, I got it upstairs. I got the one at Camp WB. My thing's got everything.
Right.
You got the Denty Morris too, and you're like, God damn it. What? Now, meanwhile, what's in their vending machine is not anything you would eat if you're outside of work, but you're
right.
pissed.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because they get the one that spin around. You can see the products.
Oh, I see. We get these sloppy seconds with the Cheez-It and the Starburst, and they get the hot stuff up there. What, they don't think their poop stinks? I'm this close to going up there with a handful of change.
Adam Carolla is with us. And I don't know what way you drive home, and I don't want to tell everybody where you live, but do you ever use Highland Avenue North?
Yes.
Are you kidding me with these goddamn potholes?
Oh, my God. I mean, there is one.
The
one at Franklin is like, I swerved to, first off, I'm gonna do, you know what James Bond did to his DB9 in the one before last, where he just lit, like, I'm just gonna roll the car.
Right.
I swerved so hard. And it's like, I think to myself, well, I might sideswipe somebody, but I realize it'll do less damage to the car.
Oh, yeah.
If I T-bone someone, then hitting that pothole.
Yeah.
And the thing is, cars today, you know, we're not driving around Minnesota with snow tires on these things. The cars are, you know, 40 series, 45, 50 series tires. They're low-profile tires. They're high-performance tires, so you feel it when you hit these things.
Oh, absolutely. And you can feel it go right down to the rim, and it smacks the rim. And everybody's immediate reaction is, aw, F, and the whole F word comes out.
And if you're on a scooter, you could die. Like,
oh, yeah.
You could literally just fall into that porthole and never come out again.
And they fill that particular pothole, they fill that about every week or so, and then about 2 days later, it's back to, 9 inches.
You know the thing that pisses me off? I'm sure Viragosa is on top of it as we speak. The thing that pisses me off the most, and by the way, this would be my first order of business if I was elected into city government. Do you ever see the manhole cover that has the stripe over it? Like, you know, it's the manhole. Like, when I used to live up Beechwood Canyon, there'd be a manhole or two, like, right down the middle of Beechwood Canyon.
Right.
And the stripe, the double stripe, would go right across the top of it, except for when it would get replaced, the guy would turn it 90 degrees.
Right.
So that the stripe went forward and then made a hard right. And I thought to myself, How disgruntled do you have to be as an employee when you're replacing the manhole cover to turn it? And people say, well, maybe cars hit and turn, but they bolt down. So some pissed off Caltrans guy said, F this. There's 2 4-inch yellow stripes going right down the middle that, by the way, continue with an uninterrupted stripe that's 5 miles long, but you've turned it 90 degrees. I want to find that guy, and I want his ass fired.
And
I don't
very
like
easy
seeing
to...
it. It throws off my rhythm. And it's a clear F-U to everyone in Southern California.
Right.
F-U to my boss and F-U to all the motorists.
Yeah. And they're very easy to turn. I mean, even when they're, you know, they're placed on top of the manhole.
Well, obviously, you pulled it off. You have the tool. You're putting it back on. Line up the damn stripes. Jesus Christ.
All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Are you on Facebook, by the way?
No,
I have a Facebook that I took the name just because I did, because I didn't take my name on MySpace, and some guy created a whole MySpace thing and was, you know, pretending to be me, and not that I give a rat's ass,
right.
but I went and took the Facebook, and now I get, like, you know, 3 or 4 people a day saying I'd like to be a, you know, friend of yours on Facebook. And Ron Escarsgo, who works at the station here, sent me a friend request on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. And I said no. Right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a 5. Nothing wrong with Ron.
Right. But he's now really pissed off that I said no to the guy. And I said, why are you taking it so personally? I say no to everybody.
Yeah, well, he reached out and he slapped his hand. How about the a-holes that have to make your life their life? You know what I mean? They'll do that. Have you checked out this? You do that Facebook? You do Facebook? No, I'm not. You should be doing Facebook. Yeah, I'm pretty cool. Yeah, no, you really need to get into it. Yeah, I just pretty much drink my wine and watch my TiVo. Hey, it's important. How many laps are we going to go here? Are you going to inhabit my body in the next several weeks? Look, take this in the spirit in which it's intended. I don't give a rat's hiney whether you have Facebook or not. Why can't you share that same just apathy for my life?
Right.
I talked to someone outside of a restaurant. I think it's like, listen, do you work for Facebook? What do you say? Relax. I don't want it. And then they start getting into the scenarios. You know, you can keep in touch with people. I don't want to keep in touch with. Yeah, but it's easier for people. You know, I use it for so. How many laughs are we going to go on it? I don't want the Facebook.
Right. Well, it's the same level of persistence that, and I think it's younger people nowadays. Like Malibu Dan. Used to work with us here, and he would say, I'm going across the street to get a sandwich over at IHOP. Do you want anything? I said, no, I just ate dinner. I'm cool. He says, well, if I get a sandwich, you want a split one? And I said, no, I'm really cool. And he goes, well, do you want anything? I mean, I can get you like a bag. And I said, no. I said, I'm really, I don't want a thing. I don't want anything. I want this conversation to stop, but I don't want anything over there. And he says, well, if I go over there and get the sandwich. And I said, this has got to end somewhere. You know, these people, you know, some people just never know when to stop.
And,
you know, the answer was no, I don't want anything.
And did you bet somebody $20 you could get me to sign up for Facebook this evening? Like, what is the payday for you other than I'm pissed?
Right.
And I want to punch you in your Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
You know what I mean? It's like, I get that all the time. Yeah, I'm going to grab a sandwich. You want something? No, I'm good. Nothing? No, I'm good. So you don't want anything? How many different ways do I have to say I don't want anything?
Right. It becomes so annoying. You know, no, the answer was no.
You know, and by the way, it's insulting, too, because, you know, my wife will come home and she'll go, did you remember to feed Molly? Yeah, I did. So you fed her? What do you expect to hear at this point? No, I was lying. Or I just freak out and make a run for Mexico at that point?
Yeah, my grandfather used to do that.
They don't believe. What it is they're saying you're... Like, they're saying, so you fed her, but really what they're saying is, liar.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You're lying, right?
Yeah, or what they're doing is they're confirming everything twice in their life.
Right.
So they live their life, in the 75 years they're here, they've lived 150 years.
Yeah, I love that. People call, is Chuck there? No, he's not. So he's not there? Oh, well, if you're going to phrase it the other way, yeah, he is. I thought you wanted to know if he was here. I didn't know if you wanted to know if he was not here. You think you just twist the phrasing around all of a sudden he's here?
That happened to me today. I called a credit card company, and they said, can I have your Social Security number? So I'm not one of those lunatics. I just give it to anybody. You know,
right.
I ask for it. And I give it to him, and he says, all right, and now what are the last four numbers of your Social Security number? I said, well, you just wrote it down. Take the last four. Count back from the end. Go take
right.
the last four, and that, there you got it.
Right.
Or when you call up a credit card company, you know, you got to type your number in on the keypad, and then the guy gets on the phone and says, what's your credit card number?
Right.
I'm like, well, what's happening here?
How about this one? How about when you're calling to, like, you know, to get your computer, whatever, or your cell phone transferred? And or do a little banking, and they need the confirmation thing.
Right.
And they're like, last four numbers of Social Security, 5328. All right, mom's maiden name, McCall. All right, code name, Raven. Okay, what am I thinking about right now? You think about soft swirl. What flavor? Actually, vanilla and strawberry. Okay, and can you give me your last working address? Geez, I don't have that. Sir, I'm sorry. What do you think? I just know eight of the things, but I don't know. I didn't memorize the ninth. I gave my goddamn mom's maiden name. I gave the last four digits of Social Security. I gave the code name Falcon. I gave the whole thing, but I can't remember my last work address offhand, and we're shutting down. Because that's what I do. I rip off people's identities, but not really. I don't go all the way. I just remember most all of their lives, not the easy stuff toward the end.
Right. Like when you're on a computer and you have to put in a password, they should give you credit for just getting close.
I know.
You know, you get no credit for that whatsoever. You got to fill the whole thing in again.
I know.
Jesus,
so I misspelled
Christ.
My son's name. You know, come on.
I do that all the time. O.J. Simpson did that.
Yeah, get me in there.
Hey, here's something that I think we should start, especially in Los Angeles. Now, if you're in the Army and you're a lieutenant or a corporal, you can't go around calling yourself a four-star general.
Right.
You know, because they'll throw you out of the Army for them.
Right.
There should be a body that labels people or gives the people the titles in this city.
Right.
Like, you can't call yourself a stand-up comic unless you're a funny guy who does stand-up comedy for a big audience.
I got a better one for you, producer.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, the amount of people that have worn that mantle who've not done a goddamn thing. I mean, if you stay in town long enough, you'll start seeing their names pop up, and when you know them, you just start laughing. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm a producer.
I never left the house.
Yeah, I'm a writer. But there should be, I mean, because, you know, if you don't have a sense of humor, you should not be able to call yourself a stand-up comic.
Well, the point is, nobody's dreams are ever dashed anymore. It's always just, you'll get them next time.
Right.
And there's a couple of things I'm tired of. A, people not giving up on their dreams. You know, look, you're 45. If you're funny, we would have known it by now. So hurry up with the iced tea, that, number one. Number two, tired of seeing kids crying, you know, they didn't make the cut on American Idol, or they didn't make Miss Teen USA, or whatever the hell it is. And there's some 15-and-a-half-year-old chick or some 6-year-old guy, and they're crying, and they're saying, you don't understand, I've wanted to do this my whole life. Your whole life. You're in the 10th grade.
Right.
I wanted to put rims on a Nova when I was your age.
Right.
And all and see one porno movie.
Well,
like, your whole life, your dreams have been dashed. You have 2 more years of high school. I'm supposed to feel sorry for you because life hasn't worked out while you're in the 10th grade?
Yeah, and you know what? When these guys are get kicked off American Idol, or if they don't make it, that was plan A.
I mean,
you know, these kids are born, raised, and by parents telling them how great they are, and, you know, how super they are, how terrific their voice is. So their plan A is American Idol.
Right.
And that's it. If that doesn't work out, there is no other plan. That's why they're crushed.
Again, like, think back where you were at career-wise, Tim, in the 10th grade.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you had no idea what was going on.
I think I was selling seeds door-to-door. You know,
I wanted
to make a couple of bucks.
I wanted to be a pirate astronaut when I was in the 10th grade. I was failing biology. I had already failed driver's ed. Not driver's training, mind you. Driver's education.
Driver's ed, that's a tough one to fail.
Listen, you know, my thing is, you know, anyone can fail English or history. Not many guys have failed driver's ed on their dance card. And I have that on my... I physically failed driver's ed and was there every day.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. But the point is I was, like, taking ceramics classes. I had no... I thought I was going to be, like, work a crane or drive an ambulance. Like, I had no idea what I was going to be doing when I was in the 10th grade. And these kids shouldn't either... But either way, I don't care about your crappy broken dreams. You're 5 years away from drinking legally.
Right, exactly.
Jesus Christ, cry me a river.
All right, Adam Carolla is with us. I was thinking about this the other day that I think Hustler magazine has destroyed the name Chester for a boy's name.
Yeah, I know, because it used to be strong, and then they put molester behind it.
Right. And now you can't ever name your kid Chester.
Oh, man. They had some of the greatest, filthiest cartoons in
the
world.
Best, yeah.
And racist, too. That's what I loved about Hustler. They had a black guy and a white guy. The white guy was, of course, hung like a chapstick, and the black guy was hung like a sterno log. And it said, Larry's Bird, Magic Johnson. I remember being 15 and laughing my ass off.
That's great. He actually remembered some of the jokes in that phase.
They were racist. There was one where a black guy like came home and surprised his old lady, and there was a giant cockroach having sex with her. And I was like, what the... This is offensive, right?
Right. Yeah, you couldn't do that nowadays. By the way, did your dad, growing up, did your dad ever sport any good porn around the house?
No. And I talk about it more, but there's a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah?
I'm suing his ass. He had nothing. Nothing. I don't know if he had a memory like a IMAX or what the hell was going on with that guy. But there was no porn in the house. And believe me, there was no stash, and the reason I know there was no stash, we lived in a pile of crap, 900 square foot A-frame, 40s pile of S in North Hollywood.
Right.
You couldn't hide a Tic Tac in that place. There's not like, well, you know, behind the jacuzzi, in the room adjacent to the gym next to the library, your dad has a vault in the floor. There was nothing in the entire house.
Yeah, my dad didn't have anything either. My uncle had a couple. My uncle, I remember, had a Playboy, but he did the very stereotypical move where it was rolled up very tightly and stuck behind the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to open it, you can't keep the pages open long enough.
Yeah, it just keeps rolling.
And also hit that stick of yours. I mean, it has to do one or the other, and you couldn't juggle both acts.
Yeah.
Just roll up on you.
I know. It was crazy. I mean, you know, it's funny because we're the bridge between the no porn and no porn anymore. I mean, all electronic now,
yeah.
You know. We're really the porn magazine generation.
Right.
There's only, you know, you have to be between the age of 32 and 47 to be in that club, you know.
Yeah, no, these kids today will never know the feeling and the strategy in buying a magazine.
Not only that, they'll never know, like, the fan move where you take, like, four of them and spread them out into a half circle, trying to figure out which one to focus on. That was a nice move, the half circle, the fan of porn.
Right. And you know what they'll also never know? They'll never know sitting at a liquor store and trying to eyeball all the customers, you know,
right.
So there's not a woman behind you or in front of you when you go to pay for it.
Right.
And then the quick, here's exact change, put it in that black, you know, flimsy bag, that black little plastic bag, and I'll wrap it up with an LA Times and get it out of here.
Yeah, and just the notion of going to the adult store and, you know, buying, you know, I'm going to have a tough time explaining to my son that guys used to rent pornography. Go down to the corner, go grab it, take it back up to the house, bring it back again.
Right.
Be kind, rewind. I mean, by the way, that is two trips into the video store where that's potential trouble. And by the way, this is why all those, the video stores were taken over by, like, the Koreans. Because they don't judge.
Right.
I mean, you go in there, you know, it's not like, hey, Chan Ho, didn't we go to high school together? There's an 80-year-old Korean guy. He thinks you're a pile of crap. You think he's a pile of crap. You got your Chrissy Canyon movie. It's not like you're running into one of your dad's friends or somebody you went to high school with.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great nationality. It's why they all do all the bikini waxing and stuff, too. Because women are like, eh.
Right.
Yeah, who are you talking to?
Well, but there's a whole process that these kids will never know in buying a porno magazine. And it doesn't start when you're in the store. It starts when you park to go to the store.
Right.
You know, you park probably about 400 feet away from the store, and you start window shopping. You know,
right.
You know it's down there, especially if you're going during the day. Hey, there's a nice barbecue in there. Look, they got some kid clothes in here. I'll slide in here, you know, and all of a sudden you're in.
I used to love this. I would watch a 2-hour reel of my horrible acting as I looked surprised when I came by the porn section at the video store. I just came in. You know what? I was going to grab Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or Gray Lady Down or something like that. Hey, what's this? What is this? What is this new form of entertainment? What do you say it's called? Pornography. Well, I'll have a look. I'm not interested. I'd like to familiarize myself with it, but I'm not familiar with your customs or your ways. But I'll go through the Western doors. Remember the Western spring-loaded Western doors?
Right, exactly. And they were always filthy too.
Yeah, it was like you're. Hey, move over, Dalton boys. There's a new pathetic masturbating sheriff in town. His name is Ace Carolla. And there ain't room enough in this porn barn for the two of you. It was like somehow the swinging doors, the saloon doors, making a ton of noise. And by the way, those saloon doors don't keep, there's 3 feet of daylight under them. There's 8 feet of daylight above them, and you can see through them. Because never's a door offered less privacy than the saloon door. What do you think, you're keeping vermin out? Or there's a big problem with mosquitoes in there. What is this saloon door going to do, really? Is there a human that slows down? My toddler can get through the saloon door. Would you go in there and you look, hey, what do we got here? Then you have to pick up movies like you're not interested in them?
Right.
Okay. All right. Not interested in this. Not interested in Taboo 2, that's for sure. But you know what? I'm going to hang on to it.
All right. Adam Carolla is with us. And if when you go to buy pornography, there's a gray area there. You can either, you know, if you buy one, the guy looks at you like, oh, okay, the guy bought a videotape. But if you buy like 18 of them because it'll save you 18 trips,
right,
the guy thinks you're a complete lunatic.
Right.
You know, and you're like, no.
Watching them all that night.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch them all tonight, but I just don't want to have to come back here and do this again.
I don't like to admit this, but I had one of the most pathetic thoughts I've ever had about 3 days ago.
Really?
In our business, you do a live appearance and some guy drops off a box of porn.
Oh, yeah.
And, the good folks over at Wicked come by and they drop off, 28 of their greatest hits. And, it gets piled up with a bunch of other junk. And then it gets thrown in the trunk of the car. And then eventually the car gets cleaned out. I'm not throwing away the porn, so I put it in the, electronics closet there.
Right.
And then at some point, a week later, it does that, hey, Carolla, what's going on? It starts talking to you. Hey, why so tight? We're both adults here. Check me out. And you're thinking, come on, I don't need this. The wife's asleep. I says, hey, why are we so tight? You don't turn the sound up. There's a porn box is talking to me. And I'm talking back to the porn box, and I'm telling them the DVD, my DVD player, the remote screwed up. Like the universal remote screwed up, the thing's in the closet. So I can turn it on, I can put a movie on, but I have no control over it.
Oh, boy.
No fast forwarding, no pausing, no rewinding. And by the way, this is a car with no keys at this point. There's nothing, there's no reason to get in it. You can't watch porn this way. It's an exercise in frustration.
Right.
So I thought to myself, you know what? The DVD player, it doesn't work. I don't have the remote for the thing. I don't want to deal with this. And the porn was like, come on, you're a creative guy. Come on, you find a creative solution. And I was like, well, the wife's Volvo does have the monitors and the headrest. I mean, when we go out of town, we put, like, Nemo on there for the kids. Got to be a way to control those. Now, the car's in the driveway at this point. I'm thinking, and now I'm thinking risk versus reward. You know what I mean?
And you're also probably pissed at this point that you didn't go with the tinted windows.
Yeah, I should have went with the limo tint. And I'm thinking, all right, am I going to have to pull out one of those child seats? Because this is not going to look good. Besides,
it even looks worse if you're sitting in one.
I'm drinking out of a sippy cup. It's dark outside. There's just a glow coming from the car. What the hell's Carolla doing in there? Sitting in the back seat of the car.
And then your wife walks in. She goes, what are you doing? He goes, what do you think I'm doing? I'm just sitting in one of the twin seats, hitting that stick, drinking gin out of a sippy cup.
I thought, and there's a part of me that thought this is completely viable.
Right.
And when I was in high school, I would have definitely done this.
Absolutely.
And I just thought, nah, this is, you know, it's like the attic when you're getting into a kid's piggy bank to go score and you catch a look at yourself in the mirror. Such a, Christ, Carole, you're flirting with this idea. You've really bottomed out.
Right.
And I thought, though, there must have been 1,000 guys who have done this, right?
Right.
I mean, they went camping. I mean, 10 minutes after the first DVD player got put in the headrest of a car, some guy went out and peeled one off, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely wouldn't be the first guy.
But also, again, Adam Carolla is with us. When you do have, you got twins, they're about, 3 years old?
Two and a half.
I got a 3.5, or almost 3.5-year-old little girl. And so when you do find that 5-minute window where you can, peel one off, and it is to a DVD that somebody did give you, for free at the station here, the moment you're done, that thing has got to be out of the house, and it doesn't just go into the trash can.
Right.
There's another whole move. I mean, if you think buying it is something, how about having to put it back in the bag, get it in the car, and then you drive it to the gas station and put it in their trash.
And listen, a lot of guys get sloppy, they get cocky, and they get busted.
That's how you get busted.
They do that. You know what? I'm going to swap that one out with Toy Story in the morning. I'll remember.
Right.
No, not so much.
Yeah, that's how you're going to get killed.
Yeah, the point is do it now. It's just one of those, I'm just going to the corner and back, put your seatbelt on. I'm just running to the corner, put the belt on. Just put it on. This is where you get killed.
All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Now, you've been making some money real decent money for what, 15 years?
I would say, 30, probably real decent, more in the 12 to 13 range.
In the last couple of years, though, and how often do people bump you for money, try to take a bite out of you?
There's the usual suspects. I'm a pretty soft touch. I don't say no to too many people. They say borrow, but they mean just take money.
Yeah, they want to have it. But,
they say borrow, like when you're at a diner and you say to the waitress, can I get some more iced tea? You mean, could you go get me some more ice? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right, but I love the excuse of why it's not coming back. Because, when I lend a guy money, I don't lend it to him. I just give it to him, and I don't expect it back. But occasionally you toy with a guy and go, hey, that G I dropped in your pants at the track. Can I see any of that? And the panic that comes over the guy is so great to watch. It's worth never getting paid back for.
Well, the good news, I mean, really what you want when you make a few ducats and you come from the valley like we do and you got a lot of loser friends and family and that kind of stuff is you want people to borrow money. Obviously, you're never going to get it paid back, but if they just borrow a grand, you'll never see it again, but they're never going to ask you again because they already owe you money.
Right.
And so in a way, it's the best grand you've ever spent.
how about the guy? And again, I very rarely get asked for money because people think I'm completely broke because I got a decent gambling Jones.
Right.
But how about the guy who you lend $1,000 or $2,000 to, and then about, 15 months later, 2 years down the road, he starts telling you about a great hooker story. And all you're thinking about is the deuce that he took a bite out of me.
Yeah, he's like, I'm at Bob's Classy Lady, and I'm making it rain. Grand Marnier for everybody. And you're like, yeah. Where's Pac-Man? Where's my money? And it was funny. And it's also funny, too, where people borrow money on a grade like I used to make, $8 an hour. And if someone wanted to borrow $20, it was a huge thing.
Right.
And I'll have guys coming up to me who I don't know that well. Like really, we're friendly, we're acquaintances. Like, hey, man, can I borrow some money? What do you need? Reaching for the wallet? $3,000. What? I mean, I know you're just basing this on me making money, but you have to do it on our relationship, too. You're not getting 10% of my gross income. I swear to God, I've had guys, I don't know that well, just like, hit me up. $3,000.
$3,000.
$3,000. I gave the guy the $3,000. I saw him 5 years later at a party, just talked my ear off, never brought it up.
Is that right? Well, you know, he knew, you know, he knows about it, you know about it, and nobody ever says anything.
Right.
A lot of pride. All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Now, you've been doing radio for, what, 10 years or so?
Yeah.
Do you have these Yenta friends, and I don't know your relationship with your wife's friends, but I have, there are three women, three chicks who are friends of my wife, who will tell my wife everything, every single thing I say on the air.
Yeah.
And and I've asked them not to do that. And I said, listen, I said, Jen usually, you know, listens to the show anyway, but would you please stop doing that? And they cannot stop doing it. There's two fatzos that live in the Santa Monica Westwood area. And then there's one skinny drug addict who lives in Sherman Oaks.
And here's the thing, too. It's always out of context. It's always twisted toward the negative. They're never doing it out of concern.
No.
They're doing it out of petty jealousy and spite, whatever other horrible human qualities there are. But it's never coming from a place of, I thought you needed to know. It's more just a, F you, I'm twisting the knife. Yes, I've gotten that my whole life. Listen, I did Loveline for 10 years.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
you know,
right,
again,
yeah.
Did you hear what Adam said last night? And, of course, they would always spin it. And it really... It is really despicable. I mean, they're really down there with some of the lowest forms of life, you know? I mean, you hear about certain things that certain people do, and you think, all right, well, they did it for a buck. You know what I mean? Like, look, when someone steals a car stereo, fine, he's a junkie.
Right.
And when someone tries to rip somebody off, fine, he needed money, he's trying to pay his bills or whatever. This is nothing in it for them. But making you miserable and them taking pleasure in your misery.
Right.
My sister is married to a German guy, and he's a good guy, and they have, I have three nephews, and they're great kids. And, you know, he speaks with an accent. He was in Germany. I think a couple of them were born in Germany, a couple of my nephews. And they all lived in Germany for a little while, and then they all finally came out here. And, you know, they're just American, blonde-headed American kids. And I said to someone once when they were talking about slavery, I said, look, I don't have, my family's from Italy, and I don't know if you know this about the Carollas, not slave owners. More apt to be slaves than slave owners.
Right.
We didn't have anybody who owned any plantations or owned anything. My family's a bunch of losers. I wish they had a handful of slaves. They had nothing. I guarantee the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was definitely a slave before he was an owner. But
right.
I don't have anything to do with slavery. I don't have it on either side of my family.
Right.
So, you know, look, I'm sorry, but I don't. What do you want from me? I didn't do anything. And I said, my three nephews have a closer link to Hitler in Germany, and that's stuff, than I do to slavery. Obviously, they have no culpability, no responsibility for World War II and what was done to the Jews and ethnic cleansing and all that kind of stuff. But their dad's German. I mean, that was 65 years ago. You know, if anything, they have a closer connection to it, but you don't hold them accountable. You're not calling them Nazis.
Right.
They didn't do anything.
And well, so
of course,
long.
Of course, you know, the next day, hey,
right.
you catch your brother's act last night? Calling your kids Nazis? Thanks, bitch. Nice job. Of course, the wife, you know, sister's pissed.
Right.
She thinks, and by the way, it doesn't help when you're an a-hole, because like, it sounds like the kind of thing you'd say.
Right, yeah, no, exactly, right.
It sounds like you just called your, you know, 4-year-old, 2-year-old, 1-year-old nephews Nazis.
Right. It's yeah, here's how I know. Like, if I ever go home and my wife is very quiet when I get home,
right.
I go to check the caller ID, and sure enough, one of these three idiots has called her, and it's like a 20-minute call. I'm like, uh-oh, okay, it was Nancy that got you this time.
Jesus Christ.
It's unbelievable.
I know. And what kind of retarded police force are you guys in where you don't make any money, you don't bring any happiness, you just rat other people out? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about I mean, the only thing that brings me any comfort is I know these people are miserable.
Yeah.
Because only miserable people do this.
All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Now, I know there are a lot of gay guys here in Los Angeles and Southern California. I've seen a few walking around. Do you get hit on by gays? Are you one of those guys? I'm the same way. I find it like a personal insult, though.
It is. It's an attack.
Yeah.
I mean, they're calling you unattractive.
Right.
I mean, it's basically... You know, it's like if you were a chick and never got hit on by a guy in your whole life.
Yeah, but
that's what's going on. I mean, there's men out there, and they're not hitting on you.
Well,
they're attracted to other men, just not you.
And they're very attracted to other men, and they're willing to have sex with, thousands of guys because it's easy to do. And this isn't good enough for you guys? This thing right here? You guys don't want a piece of this?
I've never, ever been hit on by a gay guy. And it's sad. It's like Jimmy always tells me about his priest, you know? Like, what's the matter? Not good enough? never put a hand on him. It's funny, but it is true. And it's funny when gays are funny because when you go like, hey, man, must be great going to the gym, hanging out in the shower, watching the other guy. Oh, please, don't flatter yourself. We don't go for that stuff. We don't. Really? Because I bet if I went to your apartment and looked on your mattress, I'd found about 15 Hondo magazines with just new dudes standing around a shower.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'd say you're into looking at guys nude.
Right. Yeah, they have to be.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm a guy, and if I could just go into the girls' locker room, I'd never leave the place.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, or you hear these stories of when you were younger, actually, there's more of them nowadays, where these unisex bathrooms in Europe,
yeah.
It makes you want to take a vacation just to see that.
Yeah.
You know, you can, sit down and push one out next to a chick in the other stall.
The notion that these guys, and by the way, why do you think the gays are in such great shape? Because if they head down to the Bally's.
Exactly.
Imagine if every one of your workouts ended up with a trip to the women's locker room to take a steam with some of the ladies, then hit the group shower. You'd be at the gym, what, 45, 50 times a week? How many times?
Yeah.
You'd be like, sweetie, I'm going to the gym. Geez, you've been 8 times today, Tim. That's right.
Yep, I'm off again.
Shoot me. I care about my physique.
It's a interactive strip club.
Yes.
These gyms are.
And not only that, but as a gay guy, you get to look at breeders nude. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you get to look at a bunch of guys that are straight, and you go, hey, man, I'm not gay. Yeah, you are for now. Yes, right now you are.
Right. And right in front of you. And also, you can produce your junk to them. You know, you can walk around. You know, those guys that are really comfortable at a gym, totally nude.
Jeez, go to the Burbank Y and see the 86-year-old guy shooting pool in the nude up off the shower area. They're literally shooting pool in the nude. I love the hardened, grizzled Y veteran, the 80-year-old guy who's there, and he's just literally got the run of the joint and never throws a towel on.
Right, exactly.
Flip-flops, no towel. By the way, that is a horrible look. He flip-flops with the no towel.
Right. Hey, by the way, please tell Jimmy Kimmel, my father's wife, my stepmother, Charlene Conway, who is totally responsible for my dad being alive nowadays. Every time, he sees somebody sneeze, she has him at the doctor's office. But she is the biggest Jimmy Kimmel fan in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she says this guy is the funniest and, man, oh, man. And she comes from a background where she doesn't think a lot of crap is that interesting.
She married your dad, so she must know what she's doing.
Yeah, evidently.
In the comedy department. Well, I'll tell him. I'll tell him Super Bowl Sunday. Who are you betting on, by the way?
I don't know. I think I'd like to see Arizona win only because Obama likes Pittsburgh. I've never seen a president before the game take a team.
And not only that, but, champion of the underdog, one team's got five rings. The other hasn't been to the show in 62 years.
Right.
You want them to get the sixth ring?
Yeah.
I thought you were the champion of the underdog.
I guess somebody on that Steelers team, maybe the owner, supported the campaign.
Mike Tomlinson, I think the coach did.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Rooney, or maybe Art Rooney did, but...
That's outrageous.
Hold on a second, though. That's how it works? I give you a couple of bucks and you announce you're a big fan of our team? I thought we're trying to do away with that kind of stuff in politics.
Yeah, that's the reason. That's what he ran on. His platform was, nobody in his administration could ever leave the administration and then come and lobby.
Right. If Kurt Warner gave me $300, I'd be rooting for Phoenix.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
It's outrageous. All right, Adam Carolla is with us. Real quickly, I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you do by now, though. But Bob Moore, the general manager, is no longer around.
What?
Yeah, Bob Moore resigned at 3 o'clock today.
3 o'clock?
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I didn't. All of a sudden, I was at my email. I get an email that Bob Moore resigned. So I call him up, and I said, what the hell is going on here? I've only worked under you, 12 years at this station. And he says he's moving on, effective immediately. So at 5 o'clock was his last day today.
Jesus.
Yeah. No,
glad
that's,
I wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a great guy. I'll tell you a quick Bob Moore story. When I was working here about 10 years ago, Steckler and I got fired. And then after about a month and a half or so, we came back to the station. And Jack Silver hired us again, and so did Bob Moore. So on our second night here... We had Larry Wax on the show, and Jack Silver hated Larry Wax.
Yeah, regular guy. Yeah.
And so, and Larry had said something about Jack's personal life that drove Jack nuts, and Jack went through the roof. So that was on a Friday night. On Monday, Jack comes into work and says to Malibu Dan, what's Conway's phone number? They call me, the phone's busy or off the hook, or I think I was online. That's when you had dial up. So Jack said, where does he live? And Malibu Dan said, I'll show you.
Right?
So Malibu Dan walks Jack Silver to my apartment, which is only two blocks from the station. I get a knock on the door at 10 a.m., and I look in the peephole there. It's Jack Silver standing there, and I'm in my underwear, right?
That's no picnic.
Oh, man. So I open the door, and he says, you mother effer. And he rips me for about 2 minutes, yelling at me that I had Larry Wax on the air. So I said, Jack, I said, do you realize that you're in my apartment yelling at me and I'm in my underwear?
And by the way, for those who don't know what Larry Wax looks like, Joe the plumber.
Right, yeah. So Jack leaves, and now I'm in, big S.
Right.
So I get a call from Bob Moore. Bob Moore says, could you please come to my office?
Bob Moore, yeah.
So I go to his office. I'm thinking, all right, this is it. They're going to terminate me, right?
Well,
so I get to his office. And he goes, what Jack Silver did today is not CBS policy. And I told him if he does it again, he's fired.
Wow.
And I'm like, hey, fantastic. Maybe I get this. For once in my life, somebody was on my side. But well, I thought it was over.
I liked Bob Moore. And the only thing I didn't like about Bob Moore is he started wearing those Croc shoes around. And... they're basically gardening shoes for gay guys, and I don't accept that as appropriate work attire. And then people always give you the, hey, man, these things are comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd be more comfortable if I was in my underpants right now wearing bunny slippers, but we're work.
You know what they also try to do is they always still try to get you into a pair.
Yeah, let me get you. What's going to, yeah, we'll get you into somebody's Crocs.
Yeah, they're like, well, here's where I got them. You need a phone number? Here's where I got them. It's a store up in the Topanga Plaza area. Like,
and it's always so funny, too, because these guys are like, these things are really comfortable. It's like, listen, I'm wearing a $90 pair of New Balance running shoes. You think I'm standing in glass? Like, when's the last time you saw a guy with just some Nikes going, oh, jeez, Christ, no. Oh, my dogs. Oh, they're on fire.
Right.
Like, you don't think I could pull on a pair of Topsiders or Vans, and then when I start limping after halfway to walk to the car? Ah, honey, go on ahead of me. I got to sit down.
Yeah, shoes nowadays, they're all built for comfort.
Jesus Christ, these fans are killing me. I know, like, but by the way, like, how comfortable do these shoes have to be? Like, you're going to fall asleep while you're wearing them? Like, yes, I understand they're comfortable. We could all technically be... You know what? I like being in a hot tub. That's my thing. Right. Perhaps I should put one in my office.
Yeah, just roll around in one.
I'm comfortable that way.
Absolutely. Hey, real quickly, you've seen these tubs that have a door on them, right? And you open up for the old
people.
In
the commercial, yeah.
You open the door and you get the tub and then it fills up. And evidently that door is properly sealed where it doesn't leak.
Mm-hmm.
Do then they have to then wait for the entire tub to drain out before they get out?
I'm going to do the math and say yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say there's no old-timer fast enough to open that door and shut it behind them without any of the water that's pushing up against it escaping.
Right. Okay, here's my second point. aren't the older people more susceptible to temperature change? So a guy's got to sit there soaking wet, wait till the tub drains out. He's got to be freezing his ass off by the time that door unlatches.
That's it's a very viable point, and I will fire off a strongly worded letter to the manufacturer of said tub door as soon as we hang up the phone. And I'm not kidding you, Tim. I'm going to hop on my Facebook and write a very, very heated letter.
The more athletic guys probably just jump the wall. You know, they give me one of those Starsky and Hutches, and they're gone.
It's always funny with all those getting old things, because you got to show old guys, but not real old people.
Right.
And it's kind of funny. It's like those Touch of Grey commercials where the guy's still playing the rock guitar, and he still has that hot chick, but it's clearly not his wife.
Right.
Because he's 53 and she's 31, so unless he married her when she was 9, it's probably not his wife, but she's into him. But she's not wearing a ring.
No.
It's one of those things, she's introduced, I'm sure, as his lady friend.
Right. Yeah, I always hate that term. And also, how about the Viagra and the Cialis commercials where the couple is just on the edge of, you guys are still banging?
Right.
Like, what? Nobody wants to see that. Even like holding hands and being cutesy with each other.
How about all the old guys who have to take a whiz every 10 feet? Seen this commercial? By the way, I'll shoot myself if I'm 64 and in a convertible Mustang with one black guy who doesn't seem to fit in, going down the highway just laughing it up. Not sure where these four guys are going. Don't know if they're gay. Not sure how the black guy got woven into the mix. These guys are fishing. They're going in the Mustang. They're taking a plane. They're going to Alaska. But one guy has to take a leak every 10 feet.
Yeah.
By the way, I would not invite that guy
right.
to the camping trip next year.
Yeah, that guy is, you know, just over to his house and, you know, watch a game or two with him, but you don't take him out to the woods. Right?
How much, like...
Yeah, but if the guy has to take a leak every 10 feet, you know, maybe 2 months ago he had to take a leak every 12 feet, right? And
okay.
Maybe 2 months before that, every 14 feet. At one point, do you start to get that looked at?
My point is this. How many, like, if you sat down and you really just thought about your life, Tim, just answer me this question.
You got it.
And I don't know, be as honest as you can, but I don't know if you can ever figure this out. In your life, have you heard more traffic reports that you didn't use, heard more backup beeps coming from a garbage truck or a pickup truck or a city truck while you're in your house or nowhere near the back of the truck and no danger whatsoever? That, or... seen more commercials for medication that had nothing to do with you. Whether it's the urination thing, or how about the stuff that's just all the chick-related stuff?
Right, exactly.
Just all that, all the creams and all the ointments and all the pills and all the side effects, and this one's for your heart and this one's for your ass. I mean, if you just collectively took... I would have 7 years of just sitting in front of the TV watching medication ads for stuff I did not apply to me. I think I'd have like 11 years of traffic reports when I wasn't in the car, or
yeah.
In the shower, and not going out to a Puente Hills where it's slow and go. Or the backup beep I've heard from while I'm sleeping when the garbage truck is pulling up the canyon and backing up because the car's coming down the hill. Like, what do you think, Tim, in your life?
Well, you know what I can't stand? Speaking of traffic reports, is you're on the 101, and you haven't moved in a minute and a half or so. And so you flip on the news station, you get a traffic report, and they give all the traffic reports, but they don't talk about your situation. So this traffic isn't bad enough to report? I haven't moved in 2 minutes.
Right.
And nobody else is moving.
I know, and it's weird because you just want to be acknowledged,
like the
Armenian genocide. Just admit it.
Right,
you
exactly.
You did it. You did it. No, we don't recognize this. Like, we just, I know I'm in traffic. It's not going to bring back my grandpa or anything, but I just want some acknowledgement by the chick in the Stater Brothers jet copter.
Right, exactly.
And I like the way they do that jet copter 9, like there's 8 other ones.
You know, up until a little while ago, and I think this actually, I got to check on this, but I think either KFWB or KNX 1070, I think they have a traffic plane. I think it's like a single prop plane that they fly around looking at traffic. If that is a, that group is very aggressive in not trying to, get into the present day where there's helicopters and jet propelled helicopters.
We've got a traffic zeppelin. It only moves about 8 knots, so we can't really tell you how fast the cars are going. It's going to be mooring on top of the Empire State Building.
That's excellent. All right, Adam, thanks for coming on, man.
Always a
great time, buddy.
Always a pleasure. I miss Bob Moore already.
Yeah, I know, man. He's one of the greatest guy I've ever worked for. And if anybody had an opportunity to work with that guy for, 1 year of a career, I think you'd enjoy that. But 12 years I worked for that guy. And, man, he is the absolute best.
Yeah. I mean, even though you were never in the building at the same time.
Right. But, I mean, we'd go out to the racetrack and, spend a... A few times outside the station, but always say like an old fashioned guy's guy.
I'm gonna miss the sound of his Crocs coming down the hall in the morning.
With the exception of his Crocs, a real old fashioned, not that he drank. I don't think I ever saw him drink, but it was sort of like that 2 martini at lunch kind of guy.
Yeah, old school, Mad Men.
Yeah, the old school guy that really gets a lot of crap done.
Yeah, good guy. I'll miss him.
All right, well, who are you betting on real quickly on the Super Bowl?
I'm going to take the Steelers. I think I don't know if Warner's going to finish the game with that Steeler defense, and I think it's going to be like the Steelers-Seattle game where it was 24-10. Seemed a little closer than the score indicated,
All right, so they hammer. Is that still out on DVD, or they sell them all out?
They got them, baby.
Still got them.
Go to Amazon and see why Sports Illustrated called it the best comedy sports film of 2008.
That's fantastic.
It's right there in print.
I hear you're going to do Hammer 2 that starts production soon?
No. I can't afford it.
You can only afford one movie this year?
Yeah, really, seriously. My accountant said, look, you can only afford to do a movie every 3 years. I thought they were supposed to pay you to do this crap.
That's great. All right, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a good time.
All right, thanks, man. You're the best. All right, Adam Carolla, everybody. Listen to him every single morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and also on weekends as well. When we come back, Gina Grad is going to do the news. Gina, what's going on with the news?
Well, George Bush Sr. steals Don Rickles' act, and it turns out actors and serial killers have more in common than you think. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
You know, this is worth waiting for. Normally, we don't, tease through a break and give you a bunch of... sometimes we give you a bunch of crap that you sat through, and you're like, oh, why the hell did I sit through that commercial break? But the George Bush Sr. joke that we have on audio tape is well worth sitting through the commercial break. It's hysterical. And especially if you're a George Bush fan, you're going to think it's very funny. Also, Leo the film freak, Leo Quinones, is going to be with us as well. So we got a full night ahead of us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Thank you to Adam Carolla, and we're live at 97.1 FM.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.